This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go. Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Caan, Kirk Douglas, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Sha-na-na and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need Deck the Halls or Jingle Bell Rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah.
Happy holidays there, everyone. And welcome to another night of Thomas's eight crazy nights. Yes, I am back with another eight crazy questions as I celebrate the holidays here on the Absolution Network, because it's not like we're recording this episode for a second time 3 days later. Oh, I'm sorry. I was hoping my, you know, fanfare of the Muppets would, you know, take you away from the breaking of the fourth wall. I'm here, not for the second time in 3 days, with my good friend Kyle, who's decided to join us tonight. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing very well, Thomas. Thank you for asking.
Of course, Kyle is the fabulous great host of KaijuCast, and of course, Kyle is preparing for his emergency broadcast, which will be on December 10th, which is past when you'll be hearing this, so makes no sense to pip it, but I'll pip it anyways.
Thanks, I guess. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I guess you have to get a time machine for Christmas, guys. You can go back and join us on December 10th at KaijuCast at KaijuCast.com, where the live broadcast of KaijuCast will be happening.
No, we just pretend it already happened and then say, man, that was so much fun, Thomas. Didn't you have a good time listening to that live show?
Well, one, if I could act, yeah, and two, I don't think that far ahead, so.
Fine.
Well, at least I'm humble about how much I'm an idiot.
It's all good, dude. It's all good. There's no judgment on this side of the microphone.
Well, as you've been listening, hopefully, with these episodes, this is my holiday special where I'm celebrating the holidays by actually basing it around Hanukkah. There's an idea. Instead of a Jewish guy doing Christmas specials, a Jewish guy doing Hanukkah specials. That for some reason, makes a little bit of sense. Does it make sense to you, Kyle?
It makes more sense for a Jewish fellow to host a Jewish podcast or a Jewish celebration podcast thing.
Thingamajig, yeah.
And some other secular thing.
Yeah. So we're going to have eight questions representing eight nights of Hanukkah around the holidays. So, Kyle, you ready to go?
I certainly am.
Let's get it on. As we move on to our first question is around holiday traditions. So, Kyle, what is your favorite holiday traditions, both past, present, Things you like to do, looking at lights, things you do while building a tree or whatever.
Of all my history on this, my long history on this earth, the favorite Christmas tradition, I would have to say, because it's definitely Christmas for me, my favorite Christmas tradition is the decorating of the tree. Mm. My parents have long been like extreme Christmas people. We never like did the big giant things on the lawn or the, you know, lots of lights on the house, but getting the tree and decorating it has always been a big deal, especially to my mom. And we made a lot of Christmas ornaments when I was a kid. And it's always fun to like dig into that box and find something that I made when I was like six and put it on the tree.
Yeah. For me, my favorite holiday tradition, besides, you know, all the parties and, you know, being that my mom's a member of the temple, that means he's a temple full of latkes, or as it seems to be in the past couple of years, latkes and vodka, because that's what you need 86-year-olds to be having. Heart-clogging potato pancakes and vodka. That's not a lawsuit waiting to happen.
No, that's a winning combination right there.
Yes. Especially when you add karaoke to the mix. That's a YouTube sensation, as my friend The Shades put it a couple nights ago.
I think vodka plus karaoke is always a good time.
And then add heart-clogging potato pancakes.
Sure, you could do that.
Yeah. I also love with family, we love looking at the different lights. Since, you know, we're Jewish, we don't put up lights. Don't ask me why Jews don't put up lights. I can't figure out a question why. But, you know, I do like going out around the neighborhoods and looking at the different light displays. Do you like doing that?
Yeah. We actually, here in Portland, we have a place called Peacock Lane. And it's sort of maybe like a 3-block long stretch of one street. And, everybody on that street has the extreme decorations on the outside of their house. And, like I mentioned before, they pretty much have to, like when they move into that street, they pretty much know they are going to have like this massive electric bill come, December 31st. It's a pretty big deal here in Portland. And that's by far the most popular place. And I'm sure that when I was a kid, we went to places where I grew up and checked out the crazy lights too.
Yeah. I think every city has like an area like that where, you know, there's that one neighborhood that they get together and they like light up all the houses and everybody comes. I think that's a great holiday tradition that, you know, throughout all of America.
Oh, absolutely. When my parents come to town in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be taking them to that street.
Nice. With that, let's move on to the second question. Let's move on to favorite holiday gifts. So in your long, illustrious career on this earth, Kyle, what's been your favorite gifts that you've gotten?
Yeah, so I've gotten a lot of gifts in my 30-plus years on this earth, and I have to say, the one that really just sticks in my head the most, with me being the most excited for, has to be the original Millennium Falcon toy when I was a kid.
Oh, which you probably first saw in the my friend Michael Bailey likes to call the Tibetan Book of the Dead, Sears Wish Book.
Yeah, I'm sure I saw it in that.
Well, the Millennium Falcon, I remember that hearing about that Millennium Falcon. That is an awesome, awesome thing. But still more on gifts anyways, what was the Sears Wish Book to your family?
To my family, it really wasn't, super, important. I mean, we got the Sears catalog whenever it would come, and, my brother and I would check out the Star Wars stuff because, you know, for some reason they sold Star Wars stuff and a lot of exclusive things. I've found out now that I'm much older. And we would basically just, like, he and I would peruse that all year long. And then, you know, come Christmas time, we would dog ear all the pages that had stuff on it.
Yeah, I never got to experience the, as like I said, the Tibetan Book of the Dead or Sears Witch Book, but I, at least it was at the time where Toys R Us at least had a decent book instead of the like 3-page pamphlet they give out now. I feel bad for kids.
Yeah, those things don't impress me at all these days.
But for me, for gifts, I always go down to two. One, as I like to call it, my Christmas story gift. 1989, back when I lived in California with my father, I won a Nintendo that year, and I got tons of stuff and everything, but, you know, when I had opened all my gifts, there was no Nintendo. All of a sudden, my father says, "Wait, what's this here?" And there was this little space by my love seat and couch, and, in it was, he pulls out this gift, and it's this big square thing, and I open it, and there's my Nintendo Entertainment System, complete with Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and I got one game later. I think it was Gretzky Hockey, which, actually, oddly enough, that's where I got my first appreciation for Jewish music from, because in Gretzky Hockey, they had, like, stadium tunes, and one of them was Haga Nagila.
Really?
Yeah, you know,
yeah, even though I'm not Jewish, I am very familiar with that song.
Yeah, so, oddly, when I still thought I was Christian, I got my first experience of Jewish music. So, yeah, but it was literally straight out of, like, A Christmas Story with that, except that I didn't shoot my eye out with the light gun.
Probably good.
Yeah.
No retinal damage.
No. But my other favorite is definitely my 1997. And that year, I got two different types of series. One was I got the Alien Fighter and the Jet Fighter from Independence Day. Like these big vehicles, which came with like little figures, and they still have a little alien somewhere, which were awesome toys. But the other was, I got, like, a complete set from the, 1996-1997 Godzilla toy line, which featured, like, the Godzilla figures from, like, the 1990s Japanese Godzilla movies. It had, like, Mecha King Ghidorah, and I had a Rodan that had a button, and you pushed, and it roared.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the Trendmasters series.
Yeah, the Trendmasters. I had Batra, Mothra. I had Cyber Godzilla because it was Godzilla with, like, cyber armor. Because that's what Godzilla needs. Armor.
He's got to, you know, do some battle against some pretty heavy foes, man.
But yeah, yeah.
Who made that armor for Godzilla? That's my big question is, who actually determined, I'm going to need Godzilla to come in for an armor fitting. And let's put some cannons on his hands and a nice jetpack.
Yeah,
I don't know if he had a jetpack.
Mecha Godzilla.
Actually, so what we didn't talk about before with this is that that cyber power up Mecha Godzilla figure,
yeah,
is actually based on the movie artwork on the post. Sorry, let me say that again. It is based on the poster artwork from the theatrical movie poster for Godzilla versus Mecha Godzilla from 1993.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you look in the background of that poster and you'll, like, check out what Mechagodzilla looks like, you'll be like, that doesn't look like, you know, his representation in that film. It's sort of like the artist decided to update the original Mechagodzilla from 1974 with all these cool cannons and stuff, and that is
what
that toy is based off of.
Oh, that's nice to know. And I believe you've actually told me before that the Rodan figure is based off a unique mold, isn't it?
Space Godzilla was based off of the Kyoto resin kit.
Yeah.
And an unproduced figure, one of the larger ones, like the 10-inch scale, unproduced figure was the Destroya, and that was based off of a model kit from Sukuda Hobby.
Yeah. When you told me that, that was very, very interesting to find out. I just need to now get some money and find if anybody still has the, Treadline series, because that is definitely on my wish list of stuff to find.
Yeah, sometimes you can find that stuff on eBay, but I think for the most part, it's, you know, it's difficult to find. You have to find somebody who's like getting rid of it that doesn't really
pulling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with that, let's move on to question three. Let's move on to food. So what, you know, when the holidays come, what are the food that you look forward to and you really can't celebrate the holidays without?
In general, I would say pumpkin pie, but my mom makes an amazing dish that has always been like one of my favorite things since I was a kid. She makes basically mashed sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a ton of butter and brown sugar in there as well. And puts it in a casserole dish and then covers it with marshmallows and bakes that. And it is quite amazing. And I look forward to it every year, even though I know it's not very good for me.
Well, you know, my favorite, of course, is, again, I too love pumpkin pie. In fact, as soon as Halloween's over, I'm like, where is my pumpkin pie? And my family, for some reason, finds it funny to make me wait all the way to Thanksgiving before I finally get pumpkin pie.
That's just cruel, man.
It really is cruel.
Cruel and a bit unusual.
Well, you know, pumpkin pie with whipped cream, oh, God. There are very few things that I compare to heaven on earth, and that's one of them.
I'm a big fan of pumpkin pie.
But not that big.
I we did not have it for some reason on Thanksgiving this year. And, you know, last week I was in the store and I was like, you know what? I can't take it anymore. I need to have a pumpkin pie. So I went and bought it. It's actually sitting in the fridge. And after the recording of this podcast, I'm going to go downstairs and my son and I are going to have ourselves some pumpkin pie.
Sweet. Definitely potato pancakes. You know, for those who don't know, there's actually two types of pancakes you just make. There's matzo meal and potato pancakes. Matzo meal are, you know, we take matzo meal, which is ground up matzah. It's like a Jewish breadcrumb, usually matzah, and you basically make these little pancakes. You don't put like sugar and that stuff on it, but I prefer potato pancakes because, you know, I prefer to clog up my heart. Well, it hasn't worked yet, so I must be doing something right.
It's not a theory I would continue to test on yourself, man.
And then, of course, every year, because it goes on sale, my mom gets a nice, juicy spiral ham, and I love, you know, with the maple glaze and everything, and I love my holiday ham, so those are like my three favorites. With that, let's move on to favorite holiday literature, question four. So do you have any literature, you know, Christmas poems that you like to read, or, you know, Christmas books, or even Christmas comics that, you know, come to mind that you enjoy in the holidays?
Yeah, for me, the only thing I really enjoy reading in the Christmas time is the original Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Mm.
My parents, however, are highly religious and in the Christian vein, and every year they pretty much read the series of passages from the New Testament of the Bible that talks about Jesus being born.
Oddly enough, Hanukkah is not in any Jewish text. It's only found in the New Testament.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that, but it's not in Hanukkah. The story of Hanukkah is, or we know the story of Hanukkah, but like in the actual Bible, it's nowhere in the Tanakh or the Old Testament. It's actually first appeared in King James Bible.
I find that actually quite fascinating. I did not know that at all. And so is the because I don't know, like what is the actual origin story, if you will, of...
Well, I think it's just a matter that it happened after, you know, the Old Testament was, like, set in stone and done. And it was, like, it happened before Jesus, but, you know, it was, like, that time, you know, in the New Testament before Jesus is born.
Okay. Is that... Now, is that part of an additional Jewish book of worship? Like,
it's... No, not really.
What do you guys call the Old Testament? I want to say the Quran. Is that right?
No. That's
Torah.
The Quran is Islam.
Okay, so the Torah, right?
Yeah, Torah.
Okay, sorry. My bad. Getting my religions mixed up. So the Torah is the Old Testament. So
yes.
What is there a specific book that is that includes?
I can't tell you because I don't know the New Testament by heart for obvious reasons.
Okay.
I just know it's like I know that's where it first appeared, and obviously has to be in those stories before Jesus, and that's about it.
I'm sure I can Google it.
Yeah. But yeah, for me, I also like reading A Nightmare Before Christmas. I also love, I do enjoy the original readings of, A Christmas Carol and the works of, why am I blanking?
Charles Dickens?
Yeah, Charles Dickens. God help me for forgetting that. Of Charles Dickens, and of course the original story that A Christmas Story is based off is also a very enjoyable read as well.
Oh, yeah, I've never read that one.
With that being said, though, let's move on to holiday music. So, what is your favorite holiday music, Kyle?
I actually not a huge holiday music kind of guy. I do enjoy if there is Christmas music to be heard, and I can't get around it. I prefer to hear like sort of the orchestral stuff, less of the newer rock and roll style music, and I guess you could even call them like hymnal style Christmas songs. I'm not really into those either. I just like hearing sort of like instrumental.
Yeah.
Symphonic music.
If I remember right, you told me you didn't hear 12 Pages of Christmas, and I think I sent it to you a couple of days ago, didn't I?
You did, yes.
What did you think of that one?
Well, I honestly did not listen to it yet.
If you want, we can wait and you can listen to it.
I could pick it right now. I don't know where it is, but I'm sure it's on my computer somewhere.
Anything else? I mean, I think I remember you also liked John Denver and the Muppets.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so funny story. Like, we were talking about the Muppets, and we were talking about – then we started talking about the Christmas stuff, and I mentioned how I absolutely do enjoy the John Denver Muppets Christmas special music.
Yeah.
And I had that. I actually have that still on vinyl downstairs.
Nice.
And, but funny story, sort of funny. Last night I was at this, this Christmas party, and it was an ugly Christmas sweater party. And the dude who won actually won a CD of that very Christmas album.
Sweet.
And I was like, oh man. If you don't want that, I could give it a good home. But he took it. He took it.
Yeah.
He definitely deserved it. He was wearing an extremely, extremely ugly Christmas sweater.
I bet. But yeah, for me, as I obviously just talked about before, what I sent him earlier, I love the comedy stuff. You know, I love obviously 12 Pages of Christmas, which is a classic. Of course, the classic Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. I listen to that all year round just because it's an awesome song. But, a lot of the comedy stuff, things from, like, Jeff Foxworthy and Bill Engvall that are Christmas-based and that stuff I enjoy. And, of course, like, just all the funny story. I went to a comic convention today, my mom was dropping me off, and when she starts the car, and the radio goes to her like least favorite song right now, which is the LA FMO's "I'm Sexy and I Know It," and she can't stand that song. She immediately started changing the radio stations, and she's like landing on nothing but rap stations, and it's all songs about talking about how I like your booty to bounce up and down and da ba 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 ba. It's like, God, no. And she's frantically trying to find another station. She lands on a station that apparently they'd switched over to doing nothing but Christmas music. And she's like, wait, no, keep it. And she's like, you slowly see in her head her debate, rap or Christmas music. And she thought Christmas was the word, was the least, was the most bearable at that point. And I'm like just singing Christmas tunes. She's like, oh God, how much further do I have to go?
Oh, so your mom's not a fan of the Christmas.
No. which is a horrible, horrible story, but it's like, that's something funny that I, well, at least I find it, but maybe not as funny as that video I saw on, America's Funniest Home Videos tonight. The one that won $10,000. It was a video to where, like, around Christmas time, and they started pointing a laser on, like, their grandma's pant legs, and she thought it was, like, a flame. And so she's, like, chasing the laser pointer, trying to put it out. It's awful, but it was still funny.
Makes for great radio.
Yeah. But, you can see how horrible of a person I am, folks. But, yeah, but I love that. Again, I love Joan. I love all, like, the Muppet Christmas stuff. There's, like, including, like, the stuff from a Muppet Christmas Carol, like, this is Christmas. Like, you've seen the Muppets Christmas Carol, right?
I a long time ago, have seen the Muppets Christmas Carol, yes.
Yeah, like, there's that first song that's very, very good.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas.
A cup of kindness that we share with another. A sweet reunion with a friend or a brother.
In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart. A special time of caring, the ways of love make clear. It is the season of the spirit. The message if we hear it is make it last all year.
It's in the giving of a gift to another, a pair of mittens that were made by your mother.
It's all the ways that we show love that feel like Christmas.
Upon a giant hill we'll always remember, it is the summer of the soul in December. Yes, when you do your best for love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It feels like
Christmas.
I'm not going to attempt to try to re-sing it right now because I'm like blanking on which tune to start on. But that, I love like the R&B sort of Christmas stuff from like the 90s, including, and I forgot this from a previous recording. One of my favorites is Mariah Carey's versions of All I Want for Christmas Is You. I love that song. I don't know if you've gotten a chance. I mean, have you ever heard that song?
I've heard Mariah Carey sing many songs. You can. I feel the same way about Mariah Carey as your mother feels about Christmas.
But I love the R&B stuff, so I definitely love it. And, of course, I love all the classics, you know, Winter Wonderland. You know, I like listening to Bing Crosby's versions and Frank Sinatra's. But, you know, the classics, Winter Wonderland, you know, Frosty the Snowman, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, you know, all the classics.
Yeah, those are good. I do enjoy, you know, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree and Jingle Bell Rock. Those are two good ones from the newer sort of set of Christmas songs that people tend to play on the holidays. But in general, I also really like the stuff from, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus Coming to Town as well.
As we'll get to in a second. Because let's get into our next question. Holiday TV. So what's your favorite holiday TV? That's a great segue into probably what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and basically anything from Rankin-Bass and
that gorgeous stop motion.
Yeah, the stop motion animation. That's just my favorite things to watch on around Christmas.
Yeah, I love the Hanna-Barbera Christmas cartoons. You know, Yogi Bear's First Christmas, all the Flintstone Jets and stuff. But they also made some things like, you know, the First Christmas Elf. Which was about, basically, there's this mountain full of trolls, and it's one troll that was very, very nice, and he gets kicked out, and he becomes Santa's first elf, basically. And, you know, there was a movie called The Life and Times of Santa Claus that was, I think, made in the 90s. It had very, very good animation. I very much enjoyed it. And of course the Hanukkah specials, like, you know, the Rugrats Hanukkah special, Eight Crazy Nights from Adam Sandler. I definitely love the Three Muppet Christmas specials. My absolute favorite is, A Muppet Family Christmas, which has, the Sesame Street characters, and the Fraggles, and even, Jug Band.
Oh, Emmett Otter's Jug Band.
Emmett Otter, yeah, Jug Band make appearances in that one. It has one of the greatest running gags, which is the Icy Patch gag, where everybody keeps slipping on this Icy Patch as they enter the house. And it has this very, very touching moment where, which was the Muppet that was there? No, it was because Ken the Fraggles was there, so the guy that's always chasing the Fraggles... Oh. That was in the Fraggles, the old guy?
Junior? Oh, the old man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Him and his dog were there. They were staying because it was at Fozzie Bear's aunt's house. And he was supposed to look after her house for her, and then they came to stay. So he was there. And they're at the end of the special, there's his dog is with Jim Hansen. And then he's going like, this is such a wonderful scene. And it's like a very genuine moment.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. I enjoyed a Muppet version of What a Wonderful Life, which I think I told you before. I still have to try to find I can't remember if I told you or somebody else, but it features because in the special, the Muppet Theater gets changed into a rave club. And did I tell you this before?
I don't think so. This sounds new to me.
But it gets turned into a rave club, and there's Sam the Eagle raving. And he's got a pacifier, a glow-in-the-dark pacifier in his mouth, and rave sticks. And he's raving.
Yeah, you did mention Sam the Eagle. I didn't know it was because the Muppet Theater got turned into a rave, though. And I cannot picture Sam the Eagle as a raver.
When we get done with this recording, I have to remember that's the other thing I needed to find for you. I'm going to find it for you.
Okay.
And then, of course, the recent one, Muppets Christmas Letters to Santa, which I thought was a really good special. It was done in 2008. Just for the fact that you have, like, first you have the scene at the beginning where they're waiting in line with the post office. And, you know, Miss Pickett's getting frustrated. She's like, why is this line so long? Let the stamping move! Oh, I wish the mayor was here so I could fix this problem now! And the guy in front of her turns around and is like, it's the mayor. Mayor Bloomberg is doing a guest spot and says, "Oh, Mr. Mayor, I want you to take me to the front of the line right now." And he goes, "Well, I can't do that, Miss Piggy, because that would be impolite. And if there's anything us New Yorkers are known for, it's our patience." And Miss Piggy does a slow turn to the camera and goes, "What has he done to this city?" And that was cute. That and Beaker nailing a European supermodel.
Wow, they actually showed that? That sounds really graphic.
Not technically, but you know, it's like he gets a wish machine and he wishes apparently for a European supermodel. And then when Dr. Butson says wish her away, he wishes him and the European model away. And so I'm making an obvious joke.
Yes. Good old Beaker.
Well, it's good to see Beaker win.
For a change, right?
Yeah.
For a change.
Well, with that being said, let's move on to favorite holiday movies, except for one, as we'll get to. That's actually going to be our final topic. But what are your favorite holiday movies?
Okay, so my favorite holiday movie right now is actually, with the exception of the one that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, my favorite holiday movie is actually Elf.
That's what I can't, I guess one of those people that I just can't understand the comedy behind it.
You're not a big fan of the comedy stylings of Will Ferrell?
Yeah, not really.
I think he's hit or miss with a bunch of his stuff, but, you know, majority of his comedy, I'm not a big fan of, but he has a few, there are a few movies out there that I love to death, and Elf is definitely one of them.
I'm not saying that you suck because you like it, because it's just one of those things where I've tried to watch it. I like Bob Newhart's there and everything, but.
Yeah, Bob Newhart's in it, James Caan's in it, Kyle Gass from Tenacious D is in it, and most importantly, Zooey Deschanel is in it, and he's adorable. Big fan.
And of course, the other member of Tenacious D was in the Muppet movie.
Yes, he was.
Which, by the way, we were talking about that earlier. That's the other scene I liked, when they sort of did that joke on top of a joke on top of a joke, to where they were parodying Tenacious D's parody of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I've never heard Tenacious D's parody of that.
I heard somebody else talk about how they parodied, but they did I think they did some type of parody of Smells Like Teen Spirit where they held up a lot of cards or something like that and they were making fun of it. And then of course there's that scene, the barbershop quartet scene.
Yes.
In the Muppet movie. They're humming
them doing the Nirvana, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Jet Black said, "You're ruining a perfectly good song."
Yes, yes.
So I believe he was referencing, you know, their parody of, or at least that's what people think.
All right.
Which would make sense with the Muppets. I know I got us totally off track. I'm sorry.
That's okay, man. It's a podcast.
So what are your other movies that you enjoy?
In general, I enjoy Christmas movies in general. For the most part, what I enjoy the most as far as movies go, this, you know, just those Rankin Bass things, which are more for TV than they are actual movies.
Well, for me, you know, Christmas Vacation is definitely at the top of my list. I always enjoy watching that every year, though. They, oddly enough, they started playing that on some channels before Halloween this year. It didn't make any sense, but still I got to enjoy both my, you know, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, kiss my ass, kiss your ass, Happy Hanukkah. And of course the greatest rant ever, which we can't play on a PG-13 podcast.
What about Die Hard?
I was getting to Die Hard.
Okay. There was a big pause.
Well, I was waiting for you to maybe comment on Christmas Vacation.
No, I mean, I do enjoy Christmas Vacation. It's been a really long time since I have seen it. That something I saw in the theater when it came out.
Yeah.
To date myself again. And, yeah, I mean, Christmas Vacation is a good one. My favorite line from that movie is when he's at the counter in the mall talking to the, well-endowed woman.
Yeah.
Says, it's really nipply outside.
But that, you know, as you just mentioned though, Die Hard 1 and 2, two of the greatest Christmas movies ever. Because nothing says Merry Christmas like Yippee-ki-yay, mother bleeper.
Yes. Yes.
You know, of course, my other favorite part of the first Die Hard movie is the fact that you have Carl from Family Matters in there. We have him in both, but he's more prominent in the first one.
Yeah, he's the only one that's listening to McClane, right?
Yeah.
Excellent.
You know, I'm a big Family Matters fan. Scrooged, starring Bill Murray, is another holiday classic for me.
That's right. So, as I mentioned to Thomas before, the local podcast here in town called Court and Fatboy, every month they host a midnight movie on the first Friday of the month. And this month they actually showed Die Hard for Christmas. Last year for Christmas they showed Scrooged.
Yeah, I mean, but it's Bill Murray at his best, and it's like, I really can't pick any one line, because there's so many funny lines in that movie, but, Bill Murray doing A Christmas Carol, and of course, all the different Christmas carols, like the 1959 version, which I don't know if you saw.
The only Christmas Carol that I am extremely familiar with is the one where the one with George C. Scott.
And I believe that's the 1951 or 1960 or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. It's the one where he buys the kid a giant Ferris wheel or giant toy of some kind.
Huh.
Is that the one?
No, the one that I'm thinking of I'm trying to think. It's, George C. Scott plays Scrooge, obviously, and I think it was 1984.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, here it's at. The internet is telling me it's 1984.
Okay, I must be thinking of something else. Even though it was made for TNT, but there was the recent one with Captain of the Starship Enterprise, Luc Picard.
John Picard.
I'm sorry.
Patrick Stewart. Okay.
Did you see that one?
I actually haven't. I saw that he had done that, and while I'm not a massive Star Trek fan, I enjoy it for sure.
Yeah.
I really do like Patrick Stewart. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah, but it was very, very, very good. And then of course, A Christmas Story is a classic. And of course, as I somewhat mentioned earlier, because I consider it a movie, I'm up at Christmas Carol just because it has so many great lines in it. Gonzo, Michael Caine makes a great Scrooge. It has a lot of great songs. There's so many great lines. You know, like at the beginning, where Kermit's asking Michael Caine, as Scrooge, the rats would because all the other rat workers are the rats, and they're like, another lump of coal. And he goes, how would they like to spend the holiday season on the unemployment line? And then all of a sudden they go, heat wave, this is my island in the sun. And of course, all of Gonzo and Rizzo's lines, including, light the lamp, not the rat, light the lamp, not the rat.
I have seen that one. That is out of the Muppet specials that I've seen. I've seen Emmett Otter's Jugman Christmas. The original John Denver and the Muppets Christmas, whatever that one's called.
Yeah.
I have seen the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah. And, I think I'm missing one more. But, overall, those are, all the classic Christmas. A Santa Claus isn't that bad either. What, did Tim Allen? I mean, the first one really isn't that bad.
Yeah, I definitely have never seen those.
That one and the one that has Danny DeVito and Matthew Broderick from a couple years ago called Deck the Halls.
I have also never seen that.
Well, it's pretty decent. But I think we can all agree that one that isn't good is why can't I remember it? It's the Arnold Schwarzenegger one.
Oh, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad?
Yeah.
I don't think this is right. I can't remember what it's called. Get to the Chopper, right?
No.
I'm kidding. Yeah, that's a...
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah. That's another one I have not seen.
Oddly enough, Sinbad's now doing a reality TV show on Lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. I find Sinbad funny as hell, personally.
Okay.
I know some people don't like his comedy. I do.
It's not that I dislike his comedy. It's just I never really... I know Sinbad from him being on the TV sitcom called The Real World. I think that was what it's called. No, A Different World? A Different World? Anyway, it was...
Yeah, he was never on The Real World because he was famous by the time that started premiering.
No. I'm talking about a sitcom, not the reality TV show. It's a... I think it's A Different World. Anyway, it's a spinoff from The Cosby Show.
Oh, okay.
But I digress.
He did a recent comedy special. It's really good. If you get a chance to see it, it's really good. But again, digressing. But with that, let's move on to our final topic. Let's talk about, which again, for both of us, this is a favorite Christmas movie because it's so unique to Christmas and so many people say we thought to make it its own topic, and that is A Nightmare Before Christmas.
My favorite. Hands down, ever since it came out when I was in college. I loved that movie.
Well, it's got, first of all, we really need to credit it with really bringing back the stop motion style, which had been dead for at least a decade, I would say.
Oh yeah. I think that anything that had been done stop motion had been like short film stuff, maybe just made for comedic effect.
And then after Nightmare Before Christmas, you know, that inspired, you know, the company that would do Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run as full feature films, which by the way, I went to the Muppet movie. Again, digressing, but there was a trailer for them doing another stop-motion movie called Pirates.
Yes, there were several trailers at the beginning of that were like mind-numbingly terrible, but there were also several that I was like, okay, I'm in, and that was one of the ones that I said I was definitely down for.
Yeah, but yeah, it already had me busting up laughing, which was hard since I was coughing a lot, but... Yeah, but this really brought back stop motion, and it's just awesome visuals. I know you're into the macabre, but, you know, that macabre worked in this instance. It also had some great songs.
Oh, yeah. Every song in that movie is amazing.
Of course, This Is Halloween is a great song, you know, especially the Marilyn Manson, like, one I've heard recently. Yep. I know you say you have.
Yep, I do have that.
Yeah. And, of course, my favorite is sort of the ballad that Jack Skellington does when he's on top of the twirled up hill.
Yep, Jack's Lament.
That's a good one.
What's This is the song that always gets me sort of like really amped.
It's just such a whimsical tune.
Yeah, and the way the story itself is a lovely like peek into the imagination of Tim Burton, and it's really... like a crazy awesome film in my brain. I love that movie so much. And the fact that like the lyrics to the songs really amplify like the story.
Yeah.
And you listen to the stuff in like What's This? And you know, he says there's, you know, white things in the air and they're, you know, people are sleeping in a bed and there's nothing underneath them ready to scare them. And he has no idea what this place is. And it's just, His first visit to Christmas Town is so magical for him. I love it.
It really shows what the magic of Christmas is. And I think it had a great ending as well with him learning his lesson.
Oh, yeah.
It also makes a great transition into video games because it had I don't know if you've ever played Kingdom Hearts.
I have not, but I know that there are Nightmare Before Christmas characters in that game.
There's Nightmare Before Christmas levels in both of them.
Nice.
They're both nice. Awesome.
Yeah, there was an Xbox game. There was some sort of Nightmare Before Christmas Xbox game that came out, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to get that, and then I did not because I read it's terrible.
Actually, it was on both the Xbox and the PlayStation, but it was actually by Square Enix. It was by the same people who did Kingdom Hearts. It was really based around the same system as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was like, and you can find figures from Kingdom Hearts, like Donald is like a mummy. Goofy is like a Frankenstein character, because in the game you play as a character named Sora, and his two allies are Donald and Goofy. Donald's the magician, and Goofy's like the tanker. And like I said, Donald's dressed as a mummy when you get to that level. Goofy's like a Frankenstein character, and Sora is like a vampire, and he has like little wings, and he has this like orange pumpkin sort of like mask on top of his head. It's very cool looking. I think you'll actually really would enjoy the figures if you find them.
Actually, I do have it's not a figure, but it's like a little statue someone gave me, like a little figurine of Boogie. And it's got a whole bunch of really cool things from the movie in it. But I'm pretty sure it's from a series of Kingdom of Hearts figures.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, they released like little things of those too. So, yeah.
Do you want to know something interesting that I find interesting about Nightmare Before Christmas as far as like the merchandising goes?
Oh, sure.
When that movie came out in the States, it had like a fairly large merchandising push behind it.
And,
so there were toys in the stores, there were shirts and hats and all sorts of things for sale in different types of shops, and like Suncoast the movie store had a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess the toys didn't really sell very well. So what ended up happening was, you could find this stuff on clearance, and I'm sitting here staring at, the three trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
Lock, Shock, and Barrel. I have Barrel from that original series, like right in front of me. I've had him ever since that movie came out. And, it's great, but it's American cheap production. In Japan, Nightmare Before Christmas was huge, and this company called June Planning got the domestic rights to release things in Japan, and they came out with like tons and tons of stuff. Just like amazing, like you can get like a 12-inch tall Jack like figure. That's
really, I know, I've heard about that one.
Extremely well made. They look beautiful.
Yeah,
they have like maybe five or six different versions of him. One of them is like the Pumpkin King with the pumpkin on his head, and another one where he's like in his pajamas, and one where he's dressed like Santa Claus. It's just amazing stuff.
I mean, when you see things like Soul Eater and I Love Halloween. Oh, which are like anime series of like the past, they come out in the past 5 years. You see the obvious influence of Nightmare Before Christmas in those.
Cool.
I mean, if you obviously watch those, I mean, I know you don't watch a lot of anime, but if you watch those, you'll obviously see the Nightmare Before Christmas influence. Like, just in the way, like if you look at the way the moon is in Soul Eater, you'd understand.
Okay.
I'll have to show you.
Yeah, I might have to jot that down.
Yeah. So, overall, that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Thomas's 8 Crazy Nights. Kyle, do you want to tell people about KaijuCast?
Yes, I do, Thomas. We do a podcast twice a month, actually. Once in, like, the first half of the month, and the second half of the month is another episode. And it's all 100% dedicated to Godzilla and his rubber-suited foes. The first episode is usually sort of like a special guest interview kind of thing, or maybe a topic that we're covering, myself and my co-hosts. And then the second episode of the month is always what we call the Daikaiju discussion, where I've taken all of the giant monster movies from Japan and I've randomized the list, and we watch a different movie each month. And then ask the listeners to submit their thoughts, questions, and reviews about that film to be included in that episode. And that is all available at kaijucast.com.
Yeah. And he does really great episodes. Like I think I told you a couple nights ago, my favorite is still the one with Baron Von Boogity.
Yeah, Baron Von Gulu.
Baron Von Gulu. The Baron Von Boogily would be a great name, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Especially if you start with Baron. Yes.
Yeah. And well, anything with Baron in front of it is awesome. But that's like a Halloween episode, so check that out. That's a really, really good episode. And I've only got to listen to like the first half hour of it, but like the one with the it's not the Masquerade, but what are they? They're like a dance group. They do a show.
Oh, the burlesque group.
Burlesque group, yes.
Yeah, the Mad Marquis de Maltese came on and talked about their burlesque shows. That was a good one.
Yeah.
We didn't actually talk about it, but the very first two the name of the show is called Geeklesque, and the two Geeklesque shows that I saw first, there was actually a lovely woman who did a Godzilla piece.
Nice.
Which was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, that's it again for this holiday show. So if this is probably not going to be the last episode, but I actually have something special planned for the very last episode. So until the next night, ladies and gentlemen, happy holidays.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. Hip, hip, hooray for Christmas vacation. Got a ton of stuff to celebrate. Now it's getting closer, I can't wait. Gonna make this holiday as perfect as can be. Just wait and see this Christmas vacation. This old house sure is looking good. Got ourselves the finest snowman in the neighborhood. Ain't it fun? Always on the run. That house done on Christmas vacation.